Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, why not check out our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Right, so we have been following a series in the book of Luke, the gospel that Luke wrote about Jesus' life. So if you don't know me, I'm Becky, one of our site pastors. This is one of those talks where I've spent a few weeks preparing and thinking and praying about it, and I haven't quite got to the place where I'm like, yes, God, this is really what you want to say. I got to that place at about 11:45 last night. That's not to say that hopefully that God hasn't been preparing this in me, but just to say that I think there are moments when we feel like we're in control and when we feel we're prepared and ready for what God wants to do. And there are moments where we don't feel like that at all. And God is very happy to work through both. And I think that might be what he wants to talk to us about today. So just to put that out there. It's also why my PowerPoint might be slightly squiggly, because I'll have things on there that I'm not going to say. But anyway, we've been talking in Luke about the fact that as Jesus' message and his kingdom expands out from where it begins in Nazareth in Galilee, what happens is that it not only expands geographically, but new people get included. So last week we talked about Zacchaeus and Levi, the tax collectors, who go from being the worst social outcast you can possibly think of to being included as disciples in God's kingdom. This week we're going to talk about another people group, and we're going to talk about women. Now, possibly one of the reasons this has been hard for me to think through is because this has been quite an emotional part of my own journey as a female and as a leader. And so it's something I'm quite passionate about. I'm the sort of person that will go to a bookshop, and when I look in the very informative and wonderful Christian bookshop, and there are 100 books, you know, when they display them facing outwards, these are the people that we really want you to read, and there are like 100 or so on these shelves, and there are 3 by women, and they're all on the same shelf because they're by women, whatever the subject is, it makes me upset and I have to leave the shop, okay? that is not a judgment on anybody, but there is some way to go in terms of how we view ourselves and how we view each other. And I think the reason for changing that isn't some kind of feminine firebrand, let's big it up for the women. The reason that we want to change that is because there's something about the heart of God that says that all people are created in his image, and that when we partner with each other in teams, not with one person being shone out as the person to follow and everyone else be behind them, Jesus is the person to follow. When we partner with him as team, as group together, honoring one another, that's when the kingdom breaks in the way that we want it to. So there's some passion this morning, and there's a little bit of sleeplessness, and hopefully there's a lot of the Holy Spirit and the Bible. Hopefully. So I'm going to start off with Luke, and we're going to start in chapter 10. Now, this is obviously 10 chapters into the book of Luke. Jesus has met a lot of women by this point, and I'd encourage you, especially if this is... giggles from the front. I'd encourage you, actually, if this is kind of something you're wrestling with, or if you're not sure about how women serve in the church, or if you're a woman and you're like, I don't know, all of this stuff, I would read Luke and Acts with that head on. Because consistently throughout Luke and Acts, Jesus and the church come up against women, and they constantly treat them with compassion, with honour. He breaks in terms of healing and in terms of setting those people free, but he also then calls them into leadership and discipleship. And what you see as the church goes forward is that women pay for the ministry of Jesus. They are in Jesus' discipleship group. They are praying for healing. They're listening to Jesus. We'll see that in a minute. They're learning from him. And in Acts, they're leading churches. They're leading house groups. They're apostolic. They are evangelistic. They're people like Paul and people like that, they're actually, and Apollos, they're talked to, these great guys in the church, the people who lead them to faith and talk them through faith are female. So there's just, and actually the early church isn't upset by that. They've written it down in their holy book and they're passing it around and they're talking about those stories. That's the story of where Christianity comes from. But we're going to start in chapter 10 because I can't actually preach on the entirety of Luke and Acts in one day. Even I cannot do that. So we're going to just pick out a little bit in chapter 10 because I think we also don't want to get lost too much in the big stuff. We don't want to go from, I'm not even sure I can lead, to, oh my goodness, I need to be like Junior. I need to be a crazy apostolic person. I need to be Debbie Wright or Brenda Gatlin. I need to be able to lead conferences and preach and all that stuff. And not everyone is called to do all the same stuff. And that's not really what it's about, is it, at the end of the day? Luke 10, at the end of Luke 10, Luke starts to talk about discipleship. And I think he gives us some examples of what discipleship looks like, to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. And actually, it's a little bit different maybe to what we'd expect, possibly. So we're going to read it. I'm going to pray quickly, and then we'll kind of get properly started. That was kind of a start. We can do the proper start. Okay. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Hopefully you've got something to follow it along. If not, Jeff can chuck you a spare Bible from down there. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it won't be taken away from her." Okay. So we're talking about following Jesus and being Jesus' disciple. What is it that we think of? I think a lot of the time, the screen outside today was stuck on the serving. Did you see that? Elle was like, "I keep looking around at my own face." So there's a big thing that says serving, get involved, Birmingham Vineyard. That's what church is about. We need you to serve, right? We say it all the time. Is that the core of discipleship then? Is that what we're asking people to do? Because that's what Martha's doing. She's doing brilliantly. She's opened her home. She's got lots of people in there. If you look back in Luke 8, there's probably at least 30 people who follow Jesus all the time. There's probably quite a lot more. There's about 120 by the time you get to the end of the gospel. So she has a massive house full. And she's cooking them dinner. She's going all out on it. She's probably spending loads of resources on it. It's costly. It's time consuming. She's giving of her best, isn't she? She's doing what we always say disciples of Jesus should do. Now, that's not wrong, is it? It's not wrong to love cooking and baking. I realised recently that when Jeff and I have started to try and give up a little bit of cake. We've realised that working for a church is dangerous. There is cake at everything, every single day. And we meet a lot of wonderful people in their 60s who have incredible ministries and quite large, large personages. Anyway, we have... I'm not going to say that very well. We realised that possibly in our 30s we could stop eating quite so much cake, basically, was the outcome. And we thought, okay, Luke is very slim there. But I've realised that since we've decided we're not going to bake for ourselves and we're not going to have cake in the house, I still bake at least once a week. Why don't, and I give them away. I have to, it's somebody's birthday, I have to bake a cake, I have to do this, I have to give this to somebody as a thank you, whatever. And what I've realised isn't that I like eating cake, I actually really like making it. Some of you are like, "I'm totally coming to your house next week." Absolutely, that's fine. It's not wrong to love cooking and baking. It's not wrong to love anything else that's really good. And especially when it's a gift and when it's a ministry, it can be quite hard to realise that actually it's distracting us from something that's more important. If you can imagine, I've got a guest in my house. I've got a friend who I haven't seen for a really long time. And they've come and sat down on my sofa. And I start cooking them a meal. I didn't know they were coming, but this is really exciting. So I cook them the best thing I can think of. I get really involved. I realise the bathroom is dirty. My bathroom is always dirty. I don't like cleaning it, but I'll do it when someone's around. So I go and do that. We can't get around the fact that if I miss sitting down with my friend and being with them because I'm distracted by doing stuff, then I have missed the actual opportunity presented to me by them being in my house in the first place. We can't get around the fact that when Jesus sees one disciple who is serving her heart out and another one who has sat down listening to him and being with him, that he says, "This is better." That he says, "Being with me and loving me is better." See, Mary isn't doing the traditional female thing from her culture, is she? She's sitting at Jesus' feet. Well, sometimes she's pictured in a room with only men. We know from Luke 8, that's probably not true, that there are quite a few women who are following Jesus too. So it's a mixed group. But she's sat in the room, she's focusing on him, she's listening to his teaching, asking questions, and trying to model herself on him. Jesus says there's one thing that's necessary, and it's better than everything else. And it's to sit at his feet and be with him. And our distractions don't have to be cooking and hospitality. They could be anything. They could be healthy eating, or going to the gym, or following a sport. They could be doing the day jobs that we're called and paid to do. Could be Netflix. Could be serving at church. It could be preaching a sermon. It could be learning more. It could just be sleeping. I love sleeping. All of these things can be really good things, and some of them are disciplines. Some of them are, aren't they? They're callings we need to actually do. They're things that God has asked from us. But if they take our focus away from Jesus, they could become distractions from our one calling that's better than all the others. We can miss discipleship, real discipleship, by doing things. We can serve in the background because actually we're too afraid to come into the light and be at the front. Martha's quite comfortable in the kitchen. She is worried and upset, but why do you stay somewhere where you're worried and upset? We actually, because you feel like this is normal, this is comfortable. I don't know about you, there's a level of stress and areas of stress where I feel this is quite safe. Actually, this is my usual space. Yes, getting the kids ready for school in the day or preparing for a holiday, these are things that I can do really well. They stress me out, but I quite like it, and we get there and it's okay. Sometimes there's a comfort in doing what we've always done. Now, sometimes we feel comfortable because we're doing what God calls us to. But discipleship is forward motion, isn't it? Discipleship is that picture of following Jesus and being like him. The kingdom doesn't stay static. It expands, it moves, and it grows. And actually, if we're not expanding, moving, and growing, which means coming out of those places where we feel comfortable, those traditional places that we've always done, then it might be time to ask the question, why not? Am I growing? Am I doing what God's calling me to? Am I fulfilling that very first calling of a disciple to be with Jesus? So being distracted, I'm aware, probably isn't just a female issue. I'm sure some of you guys are like, totally is. It's definitely not. But this thing was definitely part of my story as a female disciple. So before I became part of the Vineyard 3 years ago, I spent the first 9.5 years or so of being a Christian in two churches that were excellent churches, but they didn't have female leaders, didn't have female elders, didn't have females in their senior teams. And actually, this was pretty fine for me. Firstly, I believed it was biblical, and now I don't. I haven't got time to unpack that journey completely, but I would start with Luke and Acts and Romans 16. And if you have more questions, there's some resources for small groups, and there's some other books and things out there that you can read. But honestly, as I started to think through that and why that was true, and why I thought that, and I started to look through the Bible to work out whether I still believed this, part of me realised that I wanted it to be true. And I wanted it to be true because it is easier to be number two than it is to be number one. It is easier not to step out and have authority than it is to do it. Jeff has been, for all those churches that I was part of, Jeff was part of the leadership teams. Jeff was part of the eldership teams. He was part of the inner workings of stuff. And so I knew everything that was going on, which I quite like. And I could have an opinion on everything that was going on, which I quite like. And I could voice that opinion, and sometimes things would change because of it, which is also very exciting. But I had no responsibility at all. And no one ever questioned me, and no one ever came back to me. I never had to take the other side of having. So there's an authority, there's always a responsibility, because you've got a responsibility to the people that you lead and that you serve. There's something massively freeing, there's something comfortable and safe about being able to be the kind of the woman behind the powerful man. I don't know, I quite liked that image. I quite liked that. It's very easy to have an opinion about what you would do if you were in charge without ever having to actually be in charge and do it. Stepping into leadership has not been very easy. Stepping into leadership has been really difficult because I care about how people see me, probably much too much. I care about how things go, probably much too much. And I want everyone to like me. I want everything to go brilliantly. And I want to be in control. And God doesn't want any of those things. And that's really frustrating. Sitting at the feet of Jesus and pushing into discipleship is not easy. If you ask a question, the problem is that you can look really stupid. If you preach or you teach, if you try something new, then people will question you. You can make a massive mistake. You risk exposure and judgment. And actually, and I don't know if this is a bit more of a female thing than a male thing, it doesn't really matter. Sometimes you risk rejection if you do it well. Sometimes if you get it right, and I don't, and this happens in jobs too, it's not just churchy things. Actually, if you do something really well and you get a promotion, or you get something from your boss that says, good job, or people start to respect you for something, then other people around you can either become jealous or just get hurt. They can get hurt because their own fears and their own insecurities kind of come up with that. And this is actually another distraction, and we see it in Mary and Martha. It's another distraction from our discipleship with Jesus. Now, I had a sister as well. I get the Martha-Mary thing a little bit. I had a sister who's a little bit younger than me. And we're quite close in age. Like most sisters, we're very, very similar. And we would never tell you that. And we're very, very different. And sometimes we were each other's best friend. And sometimes we were each other's nemesis. Okay. Actually, the thing that drove a wedge between us more than anything else was the fact of comparison and competition, whether that came from someone else or came from us. It's really difficult. She was really good at some things that I really wanted to be good at. And I was really good at some things that she really wanted to be good at. And for some reason, I think it's just there's something about maybe fallen humanity or something about the way that we treat each other, which just we end up competing way more than we need to. I actually see it, people with our kids now. If someone sees one of our kids do something really good, some one of our kids will be like drawing something brilliant, and then someone will come over and go, oh, isn't her drawing superb? It's beautiful, it's wonderful. That's lovely. For some reason, they'll then see the need to go, oh, his isn't as good, is it? Like, I don't understand why we feel like we have to do that, but actually we do it all the time. We do it to ourselves more than anybody else does it to us. We feel the need to compare our performances. And actually, the reason this happens is because we don't have somewhere else to look. So if you kind of imagine the options that Martha and Mary have. Luke, can I borrow you for a minute? Thank you. Could you just come and stand here? Okay, Jane, can I borrow you as well? I'm just gonna embarrass both of you. Okay, super. Could you mind sitting at the feet of Luke? Can you be my Mary for me? Thank you. I haven't prepared them for this at all, but I thought it'd help. So this is the choice that Martha has. Where's she looking? When she comes in and says, Jesus, make her do what I'm doing. She needs to help me. She's looking at Mary. She's looking and saying, she's not doing what I'm doing, and that makes me feel insecure, and that makes me feel afraid, and so she needs to validate me by coming and doing what I'm doing, because I feel stressed, and I feel worried, and I feel upset. Where's Mary looking? Mary's looking at Jesus. Thank you so much. Woo! The heart of discipleship is that we stop looking at each other and comparing ourselves with each other, and we start looking at Jesus. And that is very easy to say, and it's very hard to do. But if we can get it, if we can get that, then I think everything else will probably start to fall into place. I am going to use one bit of my PowerPoint. Let's see if this. So this is what we have done with our children. We had this on holiday recently. Our children have this in their heads. This is what I mean about doing it to ourselves. That when someone compliments one of them, so if I say to one of my kids, oh, you look really nice today, they will go, oh, thank you very much. And another child over here will go, Mummy, do you like my trousers? Look at my trousers, look at my trousers. Do you like my trousers? Because they feel this need to compete, this need to, if someone says something good about someone else, immediately that makes me feel bad. It doesn't need to at all. So what we did is we drew some pictures of them. And we said, okay, have a look at the picture. And then look at what changes about you. So you're the boy in the cap on the right. Okay, something changes about the girl. You ready? Okay, has anything changed about you? Has anything changed? Not at all. Nothing has changed about you. Nothing changes about how loved, how safe, how saved, how special, how precious you are because something good happens to somebody else. For some of us, we need to kind of take our eyes off other people and look at Jesus for a few reasons. One is because we can look at other people and think, I could never be like you, so I'm not going to try. Jesus' answer is, no, you're not going to be like them. I don't want you to be. I've called you to be you. So come follow me and let's see what that looks like. And for other people, they're aware that they can be the one with the crown in the presence a bit more often than other people. And maybe they've had experiences like I did sometimes where other people in school would be so upset by the fact that you did so well on a test that they'd be nasty to you for the next couple of weeks. And actually what that makes you want to do is not do very well anymore. Any of those things will kill. It won't just kill our discipleship with Jesus. It'll kill our community with each other too. I wonder how many of us decide not to do what we feel we might be able to, either because we're afraid of feeling so bad, of being so bad at it that we'll get rejected, or that we'll do it so well that we'll make someone else feel bad instead. We aren't called to fear. We aren't called to compete with each other or to stay safe and comfortable. We are called to serve God, and we are called to serve one another. We also need to accept help from one another. This is the other thing that I find really difficult. So we see it, Jesus earlier on in Luke 8, he's going around with his crack kind of ministry team, and there are men and women involved there. But actually the women are paying for his ministry to go forward. And to say that, to make that public knowledge and then write it down and for the whole church to know about it for thousands of years is massive. Because saying you're vulnerable and needy and that you need help from somebody is something none of us are particularly good at. I think it's something our culture actually stands massively against. Strength and weakness, isn't it? So if you're strong, you can lead. If you're weak, you can't. If you are capable and you have it all together, then you're okay. But if you don't, then you're not. And we're going to discount you. And actually, Jesus' discipleship, Jesus' kingdom, is to say, do you know, everybody needs help, even Jesus. Jesus needed other people to cook for him and pay for him and wipe his bottom when he was little. There are lots of things that we need each other for all the time. And actually, the strength that comes in us and as a community is much bigger and better than what we are on our own. And that's why, in the end, we need men and women to work together to lead and to serve and to look after one another and to be part of God's kingdom, because we can't do it on our own. We can't have one not working or one not able to do what they're called to. And we need to constantly turn ourselves back to Jesus. We need to sit at his feet and we need to love him and listen to him.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
Why not come along and visit us? We gather at 3 services across 2 sites on a Sunday and meet during the week in small groups across the city. More information on both of these can be found on our website.
Thanks for listening and God bless.